The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Second hour, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles today, who is, you guessed it, skiing. Good for him. High of 44 today. It's partly cloudy. It's really chilly outside. There was a lot of ice on my windshields when I left this morning at, oh gosh, about 4:30. But it is, I think that time of year where we are going to see colder weather and more snow, and it was just being pushed back. All that dryness and so forth, I think we're going to see more. I just get that sense. And I actually thought this back in December when we were getting, like, no snow. I thought, okay, it was probably going to pick up once we got into the spring. But we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. It's good to be with you this morning. Again, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. Of course, I host the Jimmy Sangenberger Show every Saturday morning from 6 to 9 right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Coming up in the next segment, about 6:25, I will be joined by State Representative Mark Baisley, friend of mine going back to when he was vice chair of the Colorado Republican Party several years back now. He is also, of course, well, he's currently the state representative for House District 39. He is running for the state Senate for 2022. And he voted in favor of the two amendments that were put forward on Tuesday by State Representative Dave Williams. Most of the Republicans voted in favor of them, dealing with January 6th and Tina Peters and, oh, well, getting dead people off voter rolls, throwing that into the mix. And this was in the context of a resolution that the Democrats put forward, clearly partisan, clearly politically tailored. House Resolution 1004, and I actually learned yesterday that the Senate had a companion resolution as well. That was all about, hey, we want to reinforce the legitimacy of the 2020 presidential election results. We want to reinforce Colorado's marker as the premier electoral system and a model for states across the country. And we want to call on our delegation to vote in favor of the federalization of our elections, so-called comprehensive voting rights legislation, which, by the way, died in Congress last night in the United States Senate. They tried to do their filibuster switcheroo to change things up with the filibuster, get rid of that basically for the so-called voting rights package. That failed, and then they failed to get traction on the bills. But in Tuesday's resolutions, the Democrats in the General Assembly called upon legislators to approve that package. Congress, members of Congress, the U.S. senators in particular, to approve that package. Bennett and Hickenlooper, Senators Bennett and Hickenlooper, both did vote in favor of the package, by the way, which is no surprise. They were on board lockstep. They are always lockstep on board with the Democrats and their the Biden agenda in Congress, always, never dissent. But those are the three components of this resolution. And we'll get in a moment to the amendments that were put forward and what they entail and how surprised I was at Republican support for those amendments. But I want to present what I think is a much more effective way of combating against what the Democrats were trying to do with this resolution on Tuesday. And I wrote about it in yesterday's column that I do every Wednesday for Colorado Politics entitled Dr. King and Today's Voting Rights Debate. Here's a taste of that column and what I think would be the right way for Republicans to address something like this House Resolution 1004. On Monday, I joined thousands of Coloradans at Denver's Merade. The annual downtown march commemorates the life, legacy, and lessons of the American hero, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The festivities offered an inspirational reminder of Dr. King, who was assassinated for advancing racial justice, equal treatment under the law, and the principle of judging others not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. As I wrote in a column in 2020, Dr. King, quote, showed us the way of nonviolence, and his leadership helped bring about remarkable progress. MLK Day reinforces how far we've come as a nation, and yes, how much more there is to do. And as I reflected on Dr. King, I recalled an incredible opportunity to sit down with Carlotta Walls Lanier in studio for my Regis University radio show way back in February of 2011. We're coming upon the 11-year anniversary of this interview. Lanier is the youngest of the Little Rock Nine, the first nine black students to be integrated in Arkansas public schools following Brown versus Board of Education in 1954. She joined me to discuss her 2009 memoir, A Mighty Long Way. As a 20-year-old college student who'd first learned about the Little Rock Nine back in fifth grade, I still remember learning about it, I was astonished and inspired. And I actually went back. I have the audio, and I linked to it in my column. The full hour that I did way back in 2011. It is a blast from the past, that's for darn sure. But here's the thing. In 1957, when Lanier was 15, the Little Rock Nine were escorted by more than 1,200 Army troops so they could attend Little Rock Central High School. Republican President Dwight D. Eisenhower had dispatched the 101st Airborne to overcome the obstinate Democratic Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus, who illegally used the National Guard to block the black students from campus. Like Dr. King, Lanier's house was bombed the night of February 9th, 1960. She was a teenager. The reason? She was a trailblazing teenager, getting an integrated education as a black girl in the segregated South. Lanier grew up in the dark days of Jim Crow. She was forced to ride in the back of the bus and use colored water fountains. Blacks couldn't use the public library or swimming pools. They had to sit in the balcony of the theater and could only visit certain days of the week at the zoo. She reflected on some lessons from MLK, whom she met, quote, before he became the Dr. King. As horrible as things got, Lanier told me, quote, he taught us to love our enemies. He had a big impact on all people, not just black people, all people. He had a good message. This 11-year-old interview that I did underscores why I marched in the Merade with the Colorado Republican Party. MLK's vision transcends politics. It's important that the Republicans show up and show support. Republican attendance at MLK Day facilities wasn't welcomed by all, though. In a shockingly, but might I add, not surprisingly, divisive speech at the Aurora MLK event, political activist and Denver Public Schools board member Tay Anderson decried how Republicans had, quote, the nerve to show up on MLK Day and say, I have a dream. And by the way, at least two black Republicans, including frequent guest on this program, vice chair of the Colorado GOP, Priscilla Ron, were in the audience, and Tay knew it. Republicans acclaim MLK's message, Anderson bellowed. quote, but then will block everything that he stood for 364 days out of the year. When it comes time for us to actually talk about black people having the right to vote, it is Republicans in Congress blocking the right of black Americans to vote. Anderson, wearing a hoodie emblazoned with these words, "Dear Police," all caps, "Dear Police, I am a white woman," was targeting Republican opposition to federal legislation that Democrats claim, emphasis on claim, are voting rights bills. Congressman Jason Crow expressed similar sentiments. He accused congressional opponents of trying to unravel all the work of Dr. King. Politicians will praise MLK, Crow added, but then, quote, many of them will go off and do the opposite. Do not allow them to do it. Call them out. The partisan utterances by Anderson and Crow, who, by the way, marched together arm in arm at the Marais, just see Jason Crow's tweet of the video, are now codified in a Democratic resolution that swiftly passed the State House Tuesday along party lines. Similar resolution, as I said, passed the State Senate as well. In the House, though, H.R. 22-1004 is an obtuse attempt to divide legislators and further politicize Colorado's elections. The resolution exploits the legacies of MLK and the Federal Voting Rights Act of 1965 to manufacture a sort of existential crisis. It asks the House to reassert the validity of the 2020 presidential election results, offer Colorado's premier electoral system as a model for other states, and insist Congress pass comprehensive voting rights legislation to protect the fundamental right to vote. Clever. A vote against H.R. 1004 lets Democrats campaign that Republicans reject the 2020 election results, deny Colorado's status as a leader in election integrity, and oppose voting rights. The 2020 election was legitimate, and Colorado is indeed a national leader for elections. However, the reason Republicans oppose the federal John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act and the Freedom to Vote Act has nothing to do with, quote, voting rights. Contrary to Democrats' claims, Republicans have supported the Voting Rights Act since 1965. Continually voting for renewal. Moreover, the new bills, which now failed Congress last night, don't simply restore the Voting Rights Act, which is codified in Colorado's redistricting laws. Rather, they constitute a disastrous attempt to federalize elections. I've explained before on the radio here on KNUS or my show, Filling In for Peter, I think I've done it before, Filling In for Stefan, in columns that I've written for Colorado Politics or the Denver Gazette. But I've explained before how federalizing elections would undercut the very things that makes Colorado's electoral system a, to use the Democrats' word, model. And I do think Colorado, by and large, is a model for elections across the country. But that's an excellent reason to oppose sweeping federal control, which would undermine Colorado's elections. Truthfully, we should talk about how best to ensure voting rights and electoral integrity. Voting rights and election integrity together, access and integrity. But it's time to drop the hateful rhetoric and flagrant misinformation. Let's start by heeding the words of Dr. King himself. He said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." The resolution, and Bill Thorpe, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. The resolution, to me, was a straightforward way for the Democrats to get their partisan shots at the Republicans, to call for Congress to vote, for the Senate to vote to approve voting rights, and to make it seem, because every Republican would have voted against this resolution because of passing comprehensive voting rights. If the resolution had just kept number one and two, and probably a couple of the whereases I could have done without, but if they just were reasserting the validity of the 2022 presidential election results and offering up Colorado as a premier model, I would have voted yes on the resolution. But they added in this passing the so-called comprehensive voting rights legislation, I would have voted no. But then I would have been on the record, supposedly, as rejecting the validity of the 2020 election results and Colorado's status as a leader when it comes to elections. Not perfect, but a leader compared to most other states. And that's where I would have approached things the way that I did in my column, which was, this is absurd. Why are you playing politics right now with Martin Luther King Jr. and with the idea of voting rights when really you're undermining Colorado's elections? But then, of course, you enter in the Republican amendments in the House of Representatives offered up by State Representative Dave Williams, who most of the Republicans in the State House voted for, which they voted for, that thanked Representative Ron Hanks and the millions of other Americans who joined him on January 6, 2021, to exercise their unalienable rights as enshrined in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution to speak, peacefully assemble, and seek redress from their government in order to secure our elections and protect the sacred right of every lawful vote to be counted. That paired up with a commitment to ensuring that dead people are removed from the voter rolls and that those who are unlawfully present in the United States are never able to vote in Colorado elections. That was one resolution. Another resolution acknowledged the serious accounts of election fraud across the country and call into question the legitimacy of Joseph R. Biden to be the president, while encouraging all states to conduct a forensic audit and ensure every legal vote was counted properly. This other resolution also called on all counted clerks in Colorado to end the use of voting electronic voting systems, which is interesting to me because Louisiana has electronic voting systems. They vote on electronic machines. We vote on paper ballots that then go through a scanner and then get tabulated by software. I'm not sure exactly what electronic voting systems means in the context of Colorado. But also offer our support to the Mesa County clerk and recorder, Tina Peters, who upheld her oath of office by preserving election records and now faces unjust persecution and prosecution from Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser, and the District Attorney for the 21st Judicial District, Daniel Rubenstein, along with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And also this resolution urges for the decertification of election results in states where election fraud is uncovered that would be sufficient to have changed the election outcome while standing with the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, in his righteous efforts to fight for election integrity. To my knowledge, there are no states that fit that bill. Bill Thorpe, I don't understand, and I'm going to be very much looking forward to a conversation with Mark Basley, who I always respect and admire, get his thoughts on this. But the way that I approached it in my column yesterday for Colorado Politics is how I would have done it in the State House. I don't understand this, the resolutions here that Republicans voted for.
I actually don't understand the resolutions on either side.
Absolutely.
And the core for it is that resolutions don't mean anything. I mean, it's basically, I view resolutions as they're, when they're passed by any legislative body, I view that as my kids walking up to me and saying, "Dad, can I have donuts for dinner?" Yeah, great idea, but it's not necessarily going to happen. I mean, it's just them doing, we feel this way and we want you to pay attention to me. It just seems like they're whining about something. So I understand the political game the Democrats were trying to play.
Yes.
They were trying to put Republicans into a box and make it uncomfortable for them so they can turn around during the election cycle and go, "Look at them. Look what they
did.
Look what they did.
I didn't want to take the bait. Instead, I said, let me reframe it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Here's what I want to do with my column. But instead, we got these amendments proposed.
And that's the thing, is that I look at what the Democrats were doing. It was shallow and somewhat pedantic. But then the Republicans turned around and said, hey, watch this. Hold my beer. And then they went ahead and decided to pull out the shotgun and start shooting holes in their boat. I looked at it and went, this was the solution? Your solution was to pass a bunch of resolutions that were littered with BS, that were just wrong. I mean, and expressing, the thing is, they were expressing thoughts and ideas that only hold water with a minority of the voting population in Colorado. At most, a third, maybe 40% of the total voting population in Colorado is going to agree with some of what they said in those amendments. So I look at that as a very, very bad move, because what you've done is the Democrats wanted to put you in a box during the election cycle and say, look what they did, look what they did. Instead, you went and gave them a bigger box.
Yeah.
You gave them a bigger platform. You gave them something that most of the voters in Colorado reject as patently false. But yet the Republicans came forward and said, nope, we're still going to traffic in this thing that we can't prove nearly a year later.
Well, and
that's a problem.
And not just that. You know, there's an attempt to make a distinction on January 6th between the genuine protest that went on and the incursion on the Capitol.
I'm glad you
Most people
up.
Don't make a distinction there. It just all gets lumped together when we're talking
this
political
is
strategy.
Just for a second. Indulge me for a sec. This is important because they talk about, you know, they said they didn't want to – they want the people outside the Capitol. They don't support the people that were inside the Capitol. That was kind of a delineation marker that was done by the Republicans. They said, we support the people that were outside protesting, not the people that were in the Capitol. Let me remind you, this is what the people outside the Capitol said. This is outside the Capitol. Yeah, they're chanting, hang Mike Pence. This guy's outside the Capitol, too. Yeah, those are people that are outside. That's that group of people that they're supporting. Those people outside built a gallows. So I'm sorry. When you say, I only support those people that were outside, you're cherry picking. Wow. And the other thing is, those people showed up on January 6th because they were lied to. That's not okay. And for you to go ahead and thank them, what in the hell are you thinking?
I called on Tina Peters to resign several months back, and I stand by that.
Yeah, she needs to.
I can't understand how she's praised in here, too. But, you know, this is a strange time for politics, which is why it's important that we understand where those who are supporting such amendments as this are coming from. When we come back, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. I'll be joined by my friend, State Representative Mark Baisley, to talk about exactly this. Once again, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles, News Talk 710 KNUS. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks so much for joining us, being a part of the program. If you are just tuning in now, in the last segment, I teed up a discussion on Tuesday's resolutions and amendments voted on in particular in the state house. Democrats had a clearly partisan political attempt at a gotcha for Republicans, where they put forward this resolution that first reasserted the validity of the 2020 presidential election results. Second, put forward Colorado's election system, our electoral system, as the premier electoral system and a model for states across the country to adopt in order to increase voter participation while ensuring electoral integrity. And number three, calling on Congress and particularly the U.S. Senate to pass so-called comprehensive voting rights legislation. And I say so-called because that wasn't what it actually would do. It was about federalizing our elections. Thankfully, the U.S. Senate decisively voted that down last night. The so-called voting rights bills are dead, just as they should be. And it was clearly, as I wrote about in Colorado Politics yesterday in my weekly column, it was clearly a partisan attempt by the Democrats to have on the record, be able to say, oh, Republicans reject the 2020 election results, deny Colorado status as a leader in election integrity, and oppose voting rights, because every Republican would oppose the third proposition that the so-called comprehensive voting rights bill should be passed. And I think there's a clear message to go after the Democrats on that. But then Republican State Representative Dave Williams introduced two amendments that thanked Representative Ron Hanks and others for January 6th, particularly showing up and doing a protest, and also committing to ensure that dead people are removed from the voter rolls and that those who are unlawfully present in the United States are never able to vote in Colorado elections, which, by the way, is the one component of these amendments that I totally agree with. Then you go to the other amendment, which acknowledges accounts of election fraud and calls into question legitimacy of Biden's election, calls on county clerks in Colorado to end electronic voting systems. Not sure exactly what that means in our state, the way we have paper ballot system. Offer support to Mesa County Clerk and Recorder Tina Peters for upholding her oath of office by preserving election records, and also urging the decertification of election results in states where election fraud could have overturned or resulted in something different. And I've been scratching my head wondering why most of the Republicans voted in favor of those two amendments, why they were introduced in the first place, why they would be voted in favor of. And I'm very pleased to be able to chat with one of those state representatives who did vote for both amendments that failed, by the way, along party line votes. And that is my friend of a long time, someone who shares a birthday with me and Dennis Prager, which is August 2nd, by the way. I just always have fun with that. It's too good, too rich, not to mention, and is the state representative for House District 39, now running as a U.S. Senate I'm not elevating you there. You're not challenging Bennett. You're not one of the 25 candidates running in the U.S. Senate primary, but running for a state Senate. Anyway, Mark Baisley joins me. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Jimmy. It's always an honor and joy to join you on your show and even Peter Boyle's show. But I am doing very well. So, yeah, thank you for inviting me on. Glad to talk about sausage making with you.
I appreciate it. All right, so bring me in. What's your thinking here? I laid out sort of my big picture perspective. Tell me, bring in the sausage making.
So I think what would help to clarify what all happened here after we kind of tee it up in the reality of what the Democrats were asserting here.
Yeah, please.
Are the three things that were spoken but are not recorded in writing. So the Democrats outplayed us for sure on this, and that was the intent going in, so that they were going to put us in a position goading us with racist statements and so on and try to tee all that up and then say, I dare you to vote against this, and we'll have you on record and so on. We had, as we always do, first day of the week, that was Tuesday this week because of MLK Day, we always have a caucus meeting and we talk about the day. Now, something that I deeply appreciate, that on our side of the aisle, no one in leadership says, and here is how thou shalt vote or thou shalt behave and so on. On the other side of the aisle, that does happen. They don't meet there in the Capitol in a big conference room like we do. They meet across the street at the Teachers Union building, mm-hmm. the special interest group that hovers over them all day, every day. And they do plan out who's going to vote for what and so on. But, okay, so we were looking at this, and we had a pretty good agreement going on that we were really going to do nothing. That we were going to just simply allow them to make their statement, which was exactly as you had put it earlier. It is an extremely partisan, something that I'm not seeing any precedent for, and it is for the state legislature, in this case just the House body, and I guess there was something reflective over on the Senate side as well, but this was a House resolution only to tell Congress, hey, please vote for this partisan bill that you guys are considering to overturn and federalize our election system, the one that will only get it won't get any votes from the Republicans, and they'll lose two at least of their own people voting for it. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense anyway. But do we do this as a practice where we ask Congress to vote for or against any particular bill that they're considering in Washington? No, I've never seen that before. So this was simply a setup to try to get some traction, get some ammo to throw at us at this election season coming up later this year. So we all recognize that. And the going in plan was that our leader, minority leader, Hugh McKean, he was going to give a speech, which he did give. It was his speech that he gave in the end. And it is a fine speech. It covered all the bases. It gave the proper perspective. And we were going to just sit tight and be quiet and not take that bait. Because as you said, there was bait. And there was bacon bait. I mean, it was just dangling there. Well, what happens in a rather disjoint caucus like ours? Well, not everybody shows up to that meeting. And then as they say in war, the first shot gets fired and the battle plan gets thrown out the door. So it's very unfortunate that the very well thought through plan did not get executed. And so amendments and speeches and all that began right away after. So that was one thing spoken. The second thing spoken that is not in print, but you can go back and watch the video, audio video, being presented by the sponsor of the bill, which was State Representative Carrie Tipper from Lakewood, and she just blasted Ron Hanks in there, and the implication for State Representative Ron Hanks, who's from the Fremont County, is he was in attendance January 6th last year, and the implication, though, was that he was part of the riots, that he was part of the, quote, insurrection, unquote. And so it was this – there were the words that went around. It was a very long speech by Representative Tipper, and in presenting the bill, the resolution to the House, it was just – full of all kinds of baits of poking and
sure.
accusing and
yeah, I follow.
Really riled up. Yeah, you saw that. Okay, good. So so there was there certainly was a cause for stepping up and defending Representative Hanks, who was a real fine gentleman. I think very highly of Ron, and I can't imagine that someone who was there to see President Trump to go to the big rally to even march and yell and protest or whatever he did, that he was simply exercising his First Amendment rights. We should respect him for that. I don't think that he ever picked up a brick to throw at a window.
Sure.
I think that's just not Ron, and I can't imagine he did, but that was the implication.
State Representative Mark Baisley, our guest, since we're getting tighter on time, I understand the point from Ron Hanks. There was sort of an impetus among a lot of Republicans to defend a fellow Republican being attacked by Democrats on the House floor. Okay, so that I follow along with that. So what about the other elements for, say, the election fraud component, the other pieces from the one that defended Tina Peters, and also the county clerk saying, hey, we want to get rid of electronic voting systems and urge decertification of electoral results?
Yeah. So these were, if you see, as you pointed out there, these were elements that were all tossed together in a single amendment being proposed, and Leader Hugh McKean went down to the well, and he asked for a parliamentary procedure to separate those so that we could vote on these specifically, so that we could perhaps for instance vote to defend our colleague Representative Hanks, but not necessarily vote in support of Mesa County, or maybe not in support of decertifying Dominion machines and that sort of thing. It was unfortunately not possible to do, and I'm not recalling exactly why that is, but I believe it was because it was an amendment to an amendment or something, and so that the elements of the amendment could not be separated. But so we were not able to vote individually on the items that were clumped together. So it was then it was just a matter of, are we going to support the protest against this awful resolution or not? And so you just kind of had to throw a dart, and that was my decision. Was, yeah, I am real upset that they are bringing this to try to get the state of Colorado through its legislative body to support a horrible federalization of our election system bill that would be not representative of the people, and certainly not representative of the body as a whole. So it was, all right, we vote against it, along with Representative Williams, who was obviously leading the vocal charge against. So,
right.
Not pretty.
Yeah.
We took the bait.
No. Certainly. And I think, first of all, thank you for walking me through your thinking. Honestly, I'm just so struck, though, because, okay, so you got these things clumped together, and then they're before you, and you say, okay, well, what the heck? Let's go ahead and do it anyway. Here's the thing that just gets at me and that has me scratching my head, because when you actually vote, then these are non-binding resolutions, of course, and the amendments are non-binding. Like, these are just statements of principle. But when you vote for a statement of principle that says something about defending folks who were at January 6th, making a distinction, we could talk all day about the distinction and the validity of that, but trying to make a distinction when almost nobody really makes that unless you are a conservative or a Republican or somebody that's sort of in the bubble and pays attention from a certain angle. Most people think of January 6th in just one sort of collective fashion. Then you go to Mesa County. Clerk and Recorder Tina Peters, she wasn't backing things up in any sort of special way or any normal way. She could have backed up all of the resources that were necessary, all the components that were necessary, in common practice as other counties do. Instead, she had somebody come in who wasn't an employee, lied to the Secretary of State's office, said this person is an employee, got him in there in the dark of night. Then they did the images of the before and after of the trusted build process. There was nothing that was actually in accordance with the law or in terms of backing up election records in a standard operating procedure. It was a surreptitious way of going about it, which is why she's been under investigation. Then you look at in terms of electronic voting systems. I mean, I'm thinking we don't actually have electronic voting here. Would they do in Louisiana, where you show up, and like we used to do at one point in Colorado, where you had electronic voting machines? Here we vote by paper ballot, and then they go through a scanner, and then the tabulation on software, and then are adjudicated when necessary by human beings who are election judges. Or you look at the idea of fraud and the legitimacy of President Biden. Like, you lump all of those things together, and I'm thinking, why would you give them that material, that ammo to work with? Because this doesn't seem, I just don't understand it, Mark.
Well, it was taking the bait, absolutely true, and it did come from the lack of coordination that we unfortunately did not have in the first
place.
But
do you agree with the components here personally? Do you agree with the elements of all the elements of the resolution? Resolutions?
All the elements, no. But it was more. Are we? Do we want to? Do I want to go on record as having cast a vote that appears to be in support of the awful underlying resolution in the first place? And I did not.
Right.
So,
well,
that was really the prime motivation for my vote, even though I was not happy with the amendments being proposed. I did not want to vote against the rebellion against that resolution in the first place.
Well, isn't voting no on the resolution, respectfully, my friend, isn't voting no on the resolution standing up against it in that way? Or is it?
Well, of course.
Yes. So,
voting for or against the a protesting amendment against that resolution in the first place, that also makes a loud statement. So, you know, we all, including myself, got a flood of emails from our constituents asking us to stand up against it hard. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I wish we had not had those resolutions. I'm sorry, those amendments to that resolution, because they did put us all into awkward position, and it did give the other side what they were hoping for, which was some material to throw at us this election season. In fact, the way it was all wrapped up by the Speaker of the House, he said as much, and in his loudest voice ever, mm-hmm. I've ever heard him say, he said, "Hey, just look at the votes. Look at the votes of the amendments, and remember that this November." And so it was exactly what we had planned against, and then we're not together as a caucus to prevent. So,
yeah. I think
bad sausage.
Do you think that it was a mistake? The amendments.
Which part?
The amendments.
Oh yeah, I do. I the amendments were not coordinated. We did not see them in advance. They were tossed up there, and then you're suddenly faced with that decision. All right, do I vote for an amendment that is railing against this resolution, or do I vote against that amendment because it's got things in there that I don't want to stand up with? So, yeah.
However, reading the amendments, I don't really see how they're in opposition to the resolution. That's one thing I don't quite follow. Although I guess I get the overarching point. I think I understand one of the things that's hard to understand when you're not in the room in the legislature is that when there's a split moment and finally it's up there and then you have to make that decision and everybody else is like, OK, we got to do this and we got to make that stand. There's that sort of pressure that's going on there. But in this heightened political climate, do you think you and other Republicans have sort of learned the lesson of because State Representative Dave Williams clearly thought this through in writing this out. So while it was maybe a hodgepodge, whatever, from the perspective of different representatives, there was some sort of thought that was going on here in presenting it in the first place. So do you take away a lesson that maybe there should be a little bit more prudence on the part of the Republicans in this heightened political climate?
Oh, clearly. And remember, the amendments were not – these were not standalone amendments. There could be three different sections, three different paragraphs to one of those amendments. One of those you agree with, mm-hmm. two of them you don't. And so then you're faced with, and like I said before, Leader McKean attempted to separate those so that we could vote on them individually.
Right.
And we did not have that opportunity. So you're kind of, you know, you're going to be faced with voting for and against things that you would rather not have, and right. That was the case here as well. So,
sure.
But yeah,
well,
lesson learned. Yeah, we need to work more tightly as a caucus, and come in with a good plan.
I know I got to let you go because you're about to give a talk here before you go over to the Capitol. But I do want to say that one thing I appreciate about you, or I heard Representative Matt Roper yesterday on with George, is that you guys are intellectually honest enough to say, hey, we made a mistake here. I kind of wish we hadn't done it this way. And I think that that's important, especially as we look ahead to 2022 and figure out strategies for Republicans to come together and work together to advance. I mean, there's such an important agenda regarding crime, regarding public safety, the economy, making sure that kids are in schools. There's a litany of things that Republicans are resonating with average voters on, and we should really be focused on those things. And I think it's good that we have that intellectual honesty from Republicans in the House saying, you know what, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Here. Education choice, being able to afford life, the bringing down the fees, the taxes, the price of gas, and cleaning up our streets, not having to live with the crime that we're having to live with. Those are the three emphases of the Republican Party this year, and those are the right ones.
Absolutely.
This is one of those unfortunate distractions that We did not play well in defense in our minority position, and wish we had. So hopefully we learn better. But anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it out loud with your audience, Jimmy.
Unforced errors are something that you want to try to avoid as best you can and say, you know what, not such a good idea. But what I appreciate, Mark Baisley, you've always been a stand-up guy. You're showing that here again today. Thank you so much for joining us. And Senate District, what's the number that you're running for this November?
Four. Senate District 4. It's Chaffee Lake Park, Fremont, Douglas, Jefferson, Custer Counties.
All right. Best of luck to you. I think you'll probably be a lock for that one. But either way, best of luck to you in that regard. And also in this legislative session, stopping all the bad stuff that's about to come our way.
Yeah, it's coming.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Talk to you later. Again, State Representative Mark Baisley joining us. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. I'm hearing it in my ear. We got to go to a break. Here we are, going to a break on News Talk 710 KNUS. Welcome back. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. Really quick segment. Bill Thorpe, I picked this tune, and I really think I'd take it all back if I should, if I could. Sentiments that we just heard from State Representative Mark Baisley. But when it comes to votes in the legislature, just because you can don't mean you should sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. And I like the fact that Mark at least appreciated that it was an unforced error. That was kind of the thing that, we should have been smarter about this. And it was. It literally was. They said, they turned to the Democrats and go, what you're doing is kind of stupid, but hey, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Let us show you something really stupid.
Sure.
Yeah, you want to do stupid? I'll do this right in front of you. Yeah.
We'll open up the phones in the next hour at 303-696-1971. But a quick thought on that Joe Bonamassa, too.
Oh, it's so nice. I love
hearing
Joe.
One of my favorites of his
tune. Oh, he's fantastic. And again, you introduced me to Joe Bonamassa. He's wonderful. And it is a crime against music that more radio stations don't play him. It pisses me off, but it is a crime against music.
It is also a crime against music that I introduced you to Joe Bonamassa in 2017.
Yeah.
This month, actually, 10 days from now, will be the anniversary of when we launched the morning show that I did in Business for Breakfast, an old Salem business station. And it was 2017. I introduced you to Joe. You still haven't seen him in concert, and he comes every year.
I know.
That is a crime against music.
I've got to go see him.
We gotta do it together.
I got a couple of shows that I'm going to be seeing this year, but we'll have to see.
Gosh darn it. All right. Coming up for the next hour, give us a call. What do you think about the amendments? What do you think about the admission from here, Representative Baisley, yesterday, Matt Roper on George's show about the mistake that was made? Do you think it was a mistake? Do you think it was right? Do you agree with the resolutions or rather the amendments here? 303-696-1971. We'll talk about that and so much more. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.